Good day, and welcome to the Families USA Tax Credit Proposals conference call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I'd like to turn the conference over to Ms. Annette Ravenau, Director of Media Relations. Please go ahead, ma'am.
Thank you, and thank you everybody for participating on our Protect Our Care Coalition informational media teleconference series. As the moderator said, my name is Annette Ravenau, and I am the Director of Media Relations for Families USA. This is our first of seven calls where we hope that you will be able to get a better understanding of Congress's different proposals to try to replace the Affordable Care Act, also known as the ACA or Obamacare. These calls will take place every Tuesday and Thursday at 11:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until March 23rd, which happens to coincide with the ACA's 7th anniversary. Each call will discuss a different topic as stated on the media advisory. Today's teleconference will discuss how Republican proposals would take a backward approach to that provided tax credit to millionaires and would significantly cut the financial assistance provided to lower and moderate income people. Our experts on the call will be Lydia Mitz from Families USA and Sister Simone Campbell from NETWORK, the National Catholic Social Justice Lobby. Our speakers will first do their speech and then we will open it for Q&A. So our first speaker is Lydia Mitz. She's the Associate Director of Affordability Initiatives at Families USA. She specializes in private insurance issues, including market reforms and financial assistance program under the Affordable Care Act, wellness initiative programs, marketplace, plan benefit design, and cost sharing. She also specializes in health systems improvement, issue related to consumers' initiatives in plan design, as well as delivery and payment reform. Lydia.
Thank you so much, Annette, and thank you all for joining this call today. So I'm going to set the stage for how financial assistance works under the Affordable Care Act right now and really what consumers stand to lose in the Republican replacement proposals put forth so far in terms of the financial assistance they would provide. Prior to the Affordable Care Act, millions of people who didn't have access to job-based coverage often were just simply priced out of coverage and couldn't purchase it on their own. The Affordable Care Act put coverage financially in reach for millions of lower and middle-income people thanks to the financial assistance programs that it provides to help purchase marketplace coverage. 85% of marketplace enrollees, around 10 million people, receive financial assistance to help them afford coverage. Without this, most of these working families simply would not be able to purchase coverage on their own. Today, the Affordable Care Act provides lower and middle income people with two types of financial assistance with marketplace coverage. I'm going to give a quick overview of these types of assistance, who is helped by them, and how they operate, and how much help they provide. And then I'll discuss how Republicans intend to replace this assistance and demonstrate examples of who could be harmed under their proposals. So the first type of financial assistance that's provided today under the ACA is what are known as advanced premium tax credits, which lower people's monthly premiums for marketplace coverage. This tax credit is paid directly to people's health plans, and it lowers their monthly bill. Right now, households making between 100 and 400% of poverty are eligible for this help. And to give you a sense of who that is in real terms, for individuals, that's people making between $12,000 and $48,000 a year. And for a family of four, these are families making between $24,000 and around $97,000 a year. It's important to understand how the amount of financial assistance people receive works. So right now, the size of people's premium tax credits varies based on their income, with lower income people receiving a larger tax credit given their more limited financial resources. The way this financial assistance works is it guarantees that people can purchase a silver plan on their marketplace without having to spend more than a certain percentage of their income. And people with lower incomes are expected to spend a smaller percentage of their income given their limited means. And therefore, they get more financial assistance to cover their remaining premium. Other than income, these premium tax credits are larger for older people because health plans can charge older people up to three times higher premiums than younger adults. So today, an older person who receives premium tax credits doesn't have to pay more than a younger person who has the same income. Their tax credit grows to shield them from the added cost of being charged three times higher premiums. These tax credits also account for differences in health care costs across the country. Right now, in some parts of the country, health care prices are higher, and that translates to coverage being more expensive. To give you an example, in New Haven, Connecticut, the cost of a silver plan is more than $1,000 more expensive than the cost of a silver plan in East Lansing, Michigan, because the cost of coverage depends very much on how expensive care is, how much hospitals charge for care. So today people's premium tax credits are calculated by looking at the premiums that they would have to pay in the city that they live. Their tax credit grows to ensure that they have adequate help to afford coverage where they actually live and work. So how much do these tax credits provide? I can give you a few illustrative examples based on the national average premiums right now. So right now, a 30-year-old making $18,000 a year receives on average a tax credit of $3,096 to help bring down their monthly premium to $62 a month. A 60-year-old individual making that same amount of money, $18,000, would receive $8,444 in tax credits to bring their monthly bill down to $62 a month as well, because the tax credit grows to help account for the fact that older people are charged higher premiums. A subset of these people who receive premium tax credits are eligible for a second type of financial assistance, which helps lower their out-of-pocket costs like deductibles, coinsurance, and copays. People making up to 250% of poverty are eligible for this. These are individuals making under $30,000, or families of four making around $60,000. So at this point, I want to now turn to discussing Republicans' proposals to replace this financial assistance. Multiple Republican proposals that have been floated have replaced these existing programs with a flat tax credit that does not change at all based on people's incomes and is provided to everyone regardless of their income. This means that wealthy people making hundreds of thousands of dollars or even millions of dollars get the same credit as people making less than $15,000 a year. In many of these proposals, this tax credit also would not change based on the state where someone lives. This means that if someone lives in a region with significantly higher medical prices, which makes the cost of coverage more expensive, they would not get adequate help to account for this. This flat tax credit would grow as people got older, but would not provide nearly the same amount of help to account for how much higher premiums can be for older adults. On top of this, this Republican proposal would completely eliminate financial assistance to reduce lower income people's out-of-pocket costs and would not provide any help at all to lower deductibles, coinsurance, or copays. So despite the multiple assertions by the president and some members of Congress that deductibles are too high and we need to address it, none of their replacements would do anything to tackle that problem. Instead, they would drastically increase out-of-pocket costs for people. A leaked version of the House GOP replacement proposal that was made public last week is helpful for illustrating how harmful their version of tax credits could be for lower and middle income families. So in the proposal that was leaked, everyone purchasing coverage on their own, regardless of income, would receive an annual tax credit of between $2,000 and $4,000, with older people getting larger tax credits to help pay for premiums. Well, how do these tax credits stack up to the help lower income people receive now? The bottom line is that lower income people will see their financial assistance cut by hundreds to thousands of dollars under this plan. Older people could see this financial assistance they receive slashed in half. If we go back to the previous examples that I was talking about earlier, people making around $18,000 a year. So under the ACA, a 30-year-old making $18,000 a year is receiving a little more than $3,000 to help bring down their premiums. Under the Republican replacement, they would only receive $2,500. If they wanted to keep the same plan they have now, they would have to pay close to $600 or more for coverage in a year, meaning their premiums would increase $50 each month. A 6-year-old making the same amount of money would be in much worse straits. Right now, on average, they receive a tax credit of $8,444 to afford coverage. In the Republican replacement, this help would be cut by more than half. They would only get $4,000. This means that if they wanted to keep the same coverage that they have right now, their premiums would be six times higher under the Republican proposal. They would see their premiums increase from $62 to more than $430 a month. Someone making less than $20,000 a year simply cannot afford to pay over $400 each month to afford coverage. These individuals would also lose help that has previously brought down deductibles and other out-of-pocket costs for them. Under this backwards approach, millions of lower-income people will likely no longer be able to afford coverage, and millions would likely lose insurance. Those still able to afford coverage will only be able to afford skimpier plans that have higher deductibles than they face now. So we welcome the opportunity to build on the progress of the Affordable Care Act and strengthen financial assistance so that it provides help to more middle-income families who need it, and so that it provides families with more help to make deductibles and out-of-pocket costs affordable. However, these proposals would gut financial assistance and do nothing to help bring deductibles down. It's not the right approach.
Thank you, Lydia. And now I'll introduce to you Sister Simone Campbell. She's the Executive Director of NETWRC, the National Catholic Social Justice Lobby, and the leader of the Nuns on the Bus campaign. She's a member of the Sisters of Social Service, an attorney, and a poet based in Washington, D.C. Sister Simone lobbies and educates on social and economic justice, mend the gap issues, including tax justice, living wages, family-friendly workplaces, democracy, healthcare, immigration, and housing. Sister Simone, welcome.
Oh, thank you so much, Annette. You've heard the reality of what is being proposed by the Republicans in their leaked plans, and I want to share with you a slightly different perspective based on the true facts that Lydia just presented. I want to share with you a faith response, because I am a Catholic sister, and what we know in our faith tradition is that healthcare is not a luxury only for the wealthy. Healthcare is actually a right, because healthcare, having access, actual coverage for healthcare, enhances the dignity of all people. Now, this can be a theoretical faith conversation, but rather I'd like to share with you the story of Annette, who I met last week when I was up in St. Paul. Annette, when she was pregnant 2.5-3 years ago, received the Medicaid coverage because she was not working. And she carried her baby to term, and now she says her 2-year-old son is the light of her life. She's working and going to school right now, and so she is above the Medicaid cutoff. But because of the current reality with subsidies in the marketplaces, she is able to get coverage for herself and her son. This means everything to her, because she can make sure that her health is taken care of as well as that of her son's. She told me with tears in her eyes, she's terrified that if any of these Republican plans that go through, she's not going to be able to care for her son in this responsible way. So I just want to lift up that faith calls us to care for those who are most at the margins. It calls us to care for folks like Annette, who's struggling to do her part. Now, some of the Republicans that I've talked to say, oh, well, don't worry, that not only will there be these subsidies, there'll be health savings accounts so people can save tax before tax dollars and use that to cover the increased costs. What we need to realize is that folks like Annette don't have savings. More than about 7 in 10 workers in our country have less than $1,000 in savings. Well, it's not going to get any better soon until we address the issue of wages, but that's a whole nother story. But right now we have to be real about what American workers need. Hard-working people need a real subsidy. And quite frankly, Secretary of State Tillerson, who until he got his federal job paid for his own health care, since he didn't get it through employment, he doesn't need these subsidies. And we have to say, in responsible approach to spending federal money, those who need it most should get it. So we oppose the Republican proposals for tax credits as well as these health savings accounts, and say, think of people like Annette. Annette and her son need real subsidies. If there's a cliff effect, if there's a problem, let's fix it. But let's not hurt hardworking folks like Annette, who's working and going to school and caring for her two-year-old son. Let's do what's best for the people of our nation. And for us, that means let's make real subsidies work for our people who need it, not for the wealthiest who don't. Thank you. I'll turn it back now to you, Annette, and make sure that we can answer any questions that might be available.
Thank you, Sister Simone. Now, operator, if we would be able to get the reporters on queue so they would be able to ask their questions.
At this time, if you'd like to ask a question, please press the star and one on your touch-tone phone. You may withdraw your question at any time by pressing the pound key. Once again, to ask a question, please press the star and one on your touch-tone phone. And we'll pause a brief moment to allow questions to queue. And we'll take a question from Frank Klimko. Please go ahead.
Hello, everybody. Thanks a lot. One simple question. In your theoretical example of a 60-year-old receiving about $9,000 in subsidies, that was annually, correct, not monthly?
Correct. That is annually.
So under the leaked proposal, what he would receive is just $4,000 in subsidies. Do we know whether that is advanced tax credits, or is that something that's going to be refundable after the end of the tax year?
Under both the Affordable Care Act and the replacement proposals that have been floated, it looks like they will be they're refundable tax credits that people can receive in advance so that they're paid directly to the health plan, or something that they can claim on their taxes at the end of the year as a refund.
Thank you. Thank you. That's all I got.
Once again, if you'd like to ask a question, it is star and one on your touch-tone phone. And we'll pause another moment to allow questions to queue. Once again, there is star and one on your touch-tone phone if you'd like to ask a question. And it appears we have no further questions at this time.
Well, thank you so much, everybody, for attending our first teleconference, and we hope to have you on the next one. Thanks so much, everybody.
This does conclude today's conference. You may disconnect at any time, and have a wonderful day.